Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week. Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And Tony Buscelli.
Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman.
And Tony Buscelli.
And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher.
And Tony Buscelli.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Hey there, good evening. Welcome to Jaguars This Week, live from Everbank Field, presented by Aetna and only, of course, on News Talk WOKV. You know the crew. Tony Buscelli's back this week. Nice to see you.
No Team Teal function tonight.
Nice to have you with us. Jeff Lagerman is sitting across the way. You guys have found the spread, huh?
Yeah, we did. We actually we had Sea Best Seafood. I mean, the best of both worlds. We had some Sea Best Seafood, so we got fantastic seafood going on here.
Found with a little Italian food somewhere else.
Coconut shrimp and the fish fillets were very good. The chicken wings were
some
good.
Sausage.
Joe got some of the sausage. And then down the hall, we had another folks that brought some food in. Not nearly as good as what Sea Best is, but...
You're managing to put it down, though.
Yeah.
I'll eat both.
You already have. What are you talking about, big guy?
Well,
good to see you.
I'm growing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're growing, all right. Yeah,
right. John Osher will be along in a little while. Obviously, the...
He's been a little busy.
Yeah, you think? You know, here's the thing, and I think a lot of people anticipated this. It made sense. But didn't you know last week in the locker room, you talked to the coach first.
After the game.
When he didn't say that this is my starting quarterback, Luke McCown, until he's not.
You knew it right then.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I figured you did.
Yeah, because it wasn't so much what he said, but I mean, you know, obviously radio, you can't see the expressions on people's faces, but, you know, you could just, the body language really said to me, it's time for Blaine Gabbert and they're going to move forward. And, I thought it was outstanding. I mean, you know, he gave the answer that he had to give and delayed it until basically today the information got out. You know, the game plan days for most opposing coaches are Mondays and Tuesdays.
So you know, made them divide their efforts.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, kind of made them work a little extra, I guess you could say.
Now, John Osher has never walked in here with his computer. What are you doing? Are you going to blog during the show? Is that it? Or are you still writing? What's the story? Yeah, the chair's broken. Yeah, we got new TVs, but your chair is old. So John Osher from Jaguars.com has checked in, and I rudely interrupted Tony to find out exactly.
I usually do that to other people. So
well, I figured I better get it in while I could. What are you doing with your computer?
What's going on today? Anything?
Can we turn his microphone on maybe, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
So what's going on today? Anything?
Yeah, if you've been on time.
What are you doing with the computer?
I got my methods.
He's got some secrets he's going to unveil.
We got stuff going on.
All right.
Big day on Jaguars.com.
And it's not over yet.
Well, no, I mean, it's just, trying to get stuff done, Brian.
All right. Well, it's good to have you. Buscelli, I'm sorry.
I don't have any idea what I was going to say now.
what
were we talking about?
Jeff was talking about how the coach got passed Monday and Tuesday.
And did not announce it
until
today.
Not to burst anyone's bubble, but I'm not sure the opposing defensive coordinators were losing a lot of sleep. If you're game planning for this team, it's not the quarterback. It's the running back, and it's the power running game and what they want to do out of that. I don't know if it mattered if you're the opposing coordinator, if it was Blaine Gabbert or Luke McCown at this point. The only thing would add a little bit of a mystery because you don't have a lot of tape on Blaine, but there's not a lot of tape on Luke either. It's a game and a half or almost two games. So,
yeah, but one difference.
I don't know if that timing mattered. I guess is my point.
I think one way it would have, and that the Carolina Panthers defensive coordinator is Sean McDermott,
right?
You know, pupil of Jim Johnson, yeah. Philadelphia Eagles, and he is known for having crazy blitz packages, particularly on third and long. And so maybe you delayed some of the, I guess you could say, the creation of pressures, knowing on Monday, Tuesday that, hey, we're going to see Blaine Gabbert. But it doesn't change the approach stopping the run.
Not to be argumentative, but
I
might as well. After watching the passing performance against the Jets, my guess is Sean McDermott, no matter who was playing quarterback, was coming after the quarterback position. Well, any pressure on Sunday, and not to go backwards, but any pressure.
Well, it's not so much
created
havoc. The pressure as it is, the disguises and such,
right.
For a young quarterback. You know, it's
going to be a
little bit different.
No matter what, to Jeff's point, it's going to be a learning curve for for Blaine on Sunday against an aggressive blitzing defense.
All right, so what do you do, right? You've got a team that's playing without two linebackers,
two big-time linebackers.
John Beeson's gone with an Achilles. He had a $52 million contract.
Great player.
Thomas Davis tore the right ACL for the third straight year. He had a big contract.
So
they're gone. You've got two rookie defensive tackles in a defense that last week gave up 124 on the ground and 5.9 per carry. So you'd think with Maurice Jones-Drew and a rookie quarterback you'd go run, right? Except that you've got a Carolina defense that
I don't
has given
see
up,
that.
What's that?
I don't want to see
run
left, run right.
Right.
We talked
I'm not
about
saying
this.
We want to see it, but that's what I'm doing.
Carolina's given
until
up.
Until they stop it.
Not me.
Loggy, Carolina's given up four touchdowns through the air of longer than 49 yards in two games.
Well, you're going to throw the ball, but you're going to be who you are, and that's hand the ball off, and you're going to do it a little bit more because of the rookie quarterback. But it sets you up perfect for the play-action pass and taking the shot over the top and being aggressive in the passing game that way.
Still going to run the ball, but what I don't want to see is
dumbing it down so much where it's ridiculous.
I don't think you will. I think you're going to see them throw a lot more than you might think they're going to throw.
You know, because the first game here against Tennessee, you know, you want to try to pound Tennessee. It's a physical contest. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, whatever. You know, throw the ball.
I think they will.
Now that you've got a young player who's got talent on arm, let's do it.
Okay, let's go to that. Because of that, how they played the first week, and I wasn't here last week to talk about that, and what we saw against the Jets, why wasn't this decision made opening weekend? For the very things
you
just
said.
Are
we going all the way back there again?
No, I'm not saying, but I think it's a conversation that it's done week two, it's done week three going to this game. And what you just said, which I think a lot of people believe, that was very dumbed down in the passing game and very conservative against Tennessee, anemic against the Jets is being kind.
91 yards.
Why would you, if that's, why would you go with the rookie?
I think what their goal was just to try to buy as much time for Blaine Gabbert as they possibly could. And maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it would have been under perfect scenario. You know, because I think at least to allow him to watch an NFL game and see how different it is than a preseason game as far as the complexities, the preparation, the details, and let him kind of see that before he actually has to jump in and be a part of it. So, I don't want to go back.
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't want to go back into that either. I mean, the bottom
line is.
But you did.
I was making. Fair enough. My point was this. I think Blaine Gabbert is the quarterback now. He's the quarterback, obviously, of the future. And the day they decided to cut David Garrard, which we all talked about long ago, not rehashing it, it was the right football decision. I think we agree. He should have been the quarterback then. That's all my point is, especially the way this team's
going to
play.
So you're going back again?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? This team's going to play is run the ball, play action pass. You know, that's what they've done.
You talked to Gabbert today. What stands out from your conversation with him?
Well, it's not so much what stood out from my conversation with him, although, I mean, he said the right things that you'd expect him to say and that you would want him to say. I mean, he is very confident. He's a confident kid. He knows he's a good player. What was interesting was some of the veterans talking about just sort of what they've liked seeing from this guy from the start, which is a lot of confidence. He walks the walk of a quarterback and talks the talk. Now, obviously, you have to back that up. But, you know, there's some confidence in this guy, and they know he's the guy. And they know there's going to be growing pains. But there's a feeling in the locker room that, you know, they're behind this guy, and they like what they see.
I'm fired up. I am so fired up, and I think all of Jaguar fans should be, too.
Absolutely.
This is a big moment in the franchise's history. I mean, you know, I think this is different than the Byron Leftwich thing because, you know, when Byron Leftwich was drafted, you had Mark Brunell. And you still had Mark Brunell playing at a pretty good level. And so you really weren't excited to see Byron because, you know,
are we
going to
go
Mark.
Back? Are we going back?
Well, not in the recent past, but I mean going back to kind of compare the scenarios. You know, to where you weren't excited to see Byron because you knew that Mark was a guy that had been there, done that, and he was a good quarterback.
Right.
You know, so whereas this is a lot different, I think, in that, you know, there should be excitement. And Tony Boselli, if you don't sell tickets over this, my goodness.
But even if it's just the same as the past, the fact remains, you know, much like presidential terms in American history, you know, not to make that comparison, but there's only a franchise is defined by its quarterbacks, and this is the fourth guy that you've had in that sense. You had, you know, Garrard, Leftwich, Brunell. You know, wherever you rank those guys or whatever you think of those guys, those were the eras. This is the era.
All right, Brian.
This is the new era.
Throw the numbers out there to people. I mean, we talk.
Well, we need to take a break because look who's on TV. NFL Network.
No, but, okay. But year after year, we talk about how this has become a quarterback league, and the statistics certainly this year are right in your face saying, here it is. Here's the evidence.
I will. And will you then tell us what you said on NFL Network?
Sure.
You're being interviewed right now.
Okay, so here are the numbers. You ready? So
that was a good-looking man right there. I don't know who that was.
Well, that's Gabbard on the screen now. But
No, that was
the other guy. The guy in the black shirt?
Yeah, that was
gotcha.
Me.
All right. So week one. Who does he sound like? Week one, right?
Trust me. You can't see it, but trust me. I was good-looking.
He looked good.
Week one. There were 14 quarterbacks who threw for more than 300 yards, which is the most in a single week in NFL history. And in week one and week two, there were 15,771 passing yards, which is the most in a two-week span in NFL history. So the game has just gone to that. Take it this way. The record for most yards in the first two games of a season was held by Kurt Warner. He had 827 in 2000. The rookie, Cam Newton, had 854, and then a couple hours later, Tom Brady threw for 940 in his first 2 weeks with the big game that he had last week. So the numbers just say throw.
Well, the entire league is set up in the way they've done the rules the last several years, making it very favorable for the offensive side of the ball and made it very difficult for the defensive side. I mean, you would expect those numbers. I mean, it is you can't touch receivers. You can't touch the quarterback. I mean, I think there's even hesitation because defenseless receivers now in the back half. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is set up for off. They want, the NFL wants offensive football, and they have got it.
You almost have to be built around a franchise quarterback. We don't know yet if Blaine's that guy, but this is, you know, this is the shot.
They had to make the move. All right, we've reached time for the first break of the evening. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351, at Tony Boselli, at John Osher, at Jags Voice. If you are on Twitter, call Loggy, 355-NFL-1. Back after this, on News Talk, WOKV, depend on it. All right, welcome back. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. And the phone number, 355-NFL-1, tweet, at Tony Boselli, at John Osher, at Jags Voice. Here's one from Paul. He says, can you guys talk about Monroe tonight? Gene gave him some praise on Jaguars Monday, and I'd like to hear the JTW. That's Jaguars This Week take.
I thought he was good. In the 3-4 defense, you know, the Jets don't exactly have man-child, DeMarcus Ware-type pass rushers.
They don't have any pass rushers.
You know, so you got Brian Thomas and Calvin Pace, and he saw Brian Thomas, I believe, for the most part. I think this week is a really good matchup. Was it Charles Johnson?
Yes.
Who the Panthers gave a ton of money to.
$70 million.
And 76.
When they gave him that money, I was going, who's Charles Johnson? I mean, you know, the Carolina Panthers haven't been good, so you haven't seen them. You haven't heard about them. And after watching this guy on tape, I think this week is going to be a real strong test for Eugene Monroe, and I think will be a better gauge of us to say, okay, where is Eugene Monroe at?
Is Charles Johnson, he's a speed guy, right? Finesse guy?
No, he's kind
Does
of
he have a little power?
Yeah, he's got power. He's more of a power guy. He's not a speed guy. He's kind of unique in that he kind of looks like the guy in James Harrison, but as a defensive end. You know, he's kind of that.
I thought he was like Trent Cole.
No, he's not that quick type of guy. No, he's kind of more powerful, plays low, strong, lifts the arms, kind of like Michael Strahan used to do. But he's just he never seems to flash any great speed. But all of a sudden, you sit there and you go, oh, my, he's already passed the guy.
Great athleticism. Did you see the sack in the Cardinals game where he got inside and the quarterback stepped outside and he got knocked by the guard? And he still kind of leapt and got the quarterback around.
Really
the
good player, and you know, and I'm not saying that Eugene didn't play well in New York because you know his guy.
But
didn't
he wasn't
make
tested.
Plays.
But he wasn't tested.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was a real strong test for Eugene in that game. It was a good test.
Well, Jeff, the Jets do not have one true pass rusher. They get pressure with their scheme, with their blitz.
Well, somewhat. The one guy that he did pretty well against that Rackley struggled against is Muhammad Wilkerson. Rackley gave up the
safety
and Rackley struggled with Wilkerson, and Eugene did a very good job against Wilkerson. But, you know, as a tackle, the true test is to have a wide guy, and he's really good.
Give me a five technique.
He's got his ears pinned back, and he's coming. Exactly.
Give me a five technique or a four technique all day long.
It's not quite as hard.
Johnson had a string of – he had 11 and a half sacks last year, and he had a string of six straight games with a sack, and he started the season with sacks in each of the first two games. So you know he's bringing it. The guy on the other side, by the way, Greg Hardy's not bad either.
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, he's not in the same category as Johnson, though. You know, so, I mean, this will be a good test. I thought overall the offensive line in New York was pretty good. I mean, you rush for some good yards. Rackley, you know, got to pick it up to kind of get equal to where everybody else is playing. That guy Wimper's playing very well.
Bring Evan back and put him inside?
You could. You know, either way, you know, Evan's going to have to either clearly be back and looking great to take, you know, the job that Guy Wimper is doing right now, or, you know, see maybe somewhere else.
Because,
you know,
Guy's playing right now better than Evan did last year. Now he was beat up before he went on IR, and he's playing better than he did in training camp early.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he was beat up. And so I agree with Jeff. He's got to come back and show that this team's better with him on the field.
Now, there was a guy that I don't remember who it was back in preseason. Was, you know, just ripping Guy Wimper for the way he played.
Wasn't me. I was a Guy Wimper guy. I said he played well.
I think it was Tony that was
saying that.
Guy Wimper had been at right tackle for a week.
That's not true. That is not
that
true.
Was you, Buscelli.
No, I said Guy Wimper. I did go after the left tackle.
No, you went after
times.
Guy Wimper, too. You said the whole
notice
line
Tony was
garbage.
Tony doesn't want to go back now.
Well, you know, hey, are you surprised that Wimper's made the adjustments?
Bring the tape out,
tackle?
Joe.
I just wanted to, you know, bring that up.
Are you surprised that Wimper's
you are
playing
really
right tackle
you've
well?
You've gone all the way to that. I mean, true media. You just make things up and say whatever you want.
I didn't make that
Is
one.
Anybody surprised that playing well at right tackle?
No. I thought he played well, and we did talk about this, I know for a fact, after
the last game.
The last preseason game. And I thought he played very well. You turn on the tape and watch the coach's tape, and you say, wait a second. And it was actually the third preseason game, too, Atlanta. He played better than any other offensive lineman against Atlanta.
Well, the reason I ask is because, if you remember, he started the game at the New Meadowlands Stadium last year against the Giants. He didn't play all that well, did he?
No,
he wasn't terrible,
no.
But you didn't look at him and go, wow, that's a guy we can really build with.
You know, you got to remember, Guy Wimper at that time last year, he's backing up the left, he's backing up the right. So in practice, he's taking reps left, he's taking reps at right. You know, for an offensive lineman, Tommy, I think it's – and I know for defensive end, sometimes when you went from left to right, sometimes there was a big adjustment period. So you really couldn't feel real comfortable, and especially for an offensive lineman where it's repetition and footwork, and it's so technically oriented that, you know, you got to get comfortable, and it takes time to get comfortable. Now he's settled in, and he's been there since, you know, basically the first preseason game. He looks like a right tackle.
All right, folks, before we take this break, let me run down the injury report for you. Today, Tyson Alualu did not practice full. He was limited with they list as a knee. Derek Cox did participate fully with his chest. Wide receiver Jason Hill was limited with a hip. Greg Jones was limited, but it wasn't injury-related. Maurice Jones-Drew was limited, not injury-related, which we're just assuming that's just rest.
Right, that's going to be the routine for those two guys, I believe.
Aaron Campman did not participate, obviously, with his knee. Mercedes was limited with a calf. Rasheen rested. And Kasim Osgood was limited with the hamstring. And the Panthers are pretty darn healthy. Their safety, Charles Godfrey, did not participate with a head, which I'm guessing is concussion, right?
Yeah, he took a shot in the Green Bay game. And, in fact, there was two guys that took shots in that game. Let me flip over my board here because I made a note of it and looked like they knocked themselves out. Godfrey was one of them, and then also Chris Gamble also looked like he may have knocked himself out in that game.
He's the number one corner, too.
Is he listed on the report?
No, he's not.
Okay.
So he didn't. But if Godfrey is not ready to go, Sean Considine, a guy we know well, would step into his place at strong safety. Cam Newton listed ankle, but he took all the reps in practice today. We've hit the bottom of the hour. It's time for news. 90 more minutes of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, only on News Talk WOKV. Depend on it. Here we go. Half hour number two of four Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. Live from Everbank Field, Brian Sexton, John Osher, Tony Buscelli, Jeff Loggam, and Joe Fortunato taking your calls. You can join us at 355-NFL-1, or, of course, some of us follow the whole Twitter thing, and that's at Tony Buscelli, at John Osher, at Jags Voice. So
you can fax Loggy.
You can call page him.
I take faxes.
So where do you want to go now? Did we exhaust the quarterback topic?
Oh, shoot, no. You can have that forever.
No. Look, the phone lines have done nothing on the quarterback topic. That we're a phone-driven show, but it tells me that people just assumed he was going to start.
Right, and this is what people, you know, this is what most of the fan base wanted.
Yeah.
And they got it.
I agree. I mean, I think it's the right call. I mean, I would argue that, and I don't want to go back, Loggy.
Well, so go back if you want.
Go back if you want. I don't
but
care.
I would argue that this is the right call from the beginning. And all due respect to Luke, this is not bashing Luke, but I think Blaine is the guy. You have to find out what you have, and not that you, I mean, is this team, the way I look at it, is this team any less likely or more likely to go to the playoffs or and make a playoff run with Blaine over Luke? Or, I mean, does that change make a difference?
For this year, no.
For this year?
Not necessarily.
Loggy?
I think it would have been a difference if David were still
okay,
here.
But David's gone. I agree with that,
too. Not, I don't want to go back.
Yeah, I'm trying not. I'm trying to stay here.
But what the roster has, no.
Okay, so
if because, the David who played here before had been here, I don't
exactly.
Think that's what a lot of people fail to realize is that they really looked at David again to go back, Tony, and said,
"Can you add anything to this?"
If they had thought that he was the same player he had been 07 to 2010, he would still be here, and. That's a little bit of a detailed point that sometimes gets lost, but I think that's the truth.
So my point in
that was my kind of meaning of that is that, you know, if it was the David of old and we didn't see that in the preseason.
But my point to that is that's why you go with Blaine now.
I think that the chances are better with Blaine in there right now.
And you get you get a year of experience under his belt.
Well, that's the important part.
Absolutely.
Before we get to the future with Blaine, let me say this about Luke McCown. What an outstanding job that he has done after having what could be just a crushing day, you know, personally, emotionally. He stood up in front of the media. He manned up and said, I wasn't good enough. And I'm not trying to credit him for his performance. I'm trying to credit him for his response to an abysmal performance.
Because we all know players who don't do that.
He made himself available. Mm-hmm. He didn't run from it. He's all about team. And that's what I love about him.
Don't you think he's the right guy to be in that meeting room
with
Blaine
Gabbert?
I think
he's absolutely perfect to have Blaine Gabbert learn from because Luke, as we said before, student of the game. He's smart. He works hard at it. He gets the game plans early. He gets the film. He's in here on his day off. I mean, he has a work ethic that you want to see out of a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Now, I'd also love to have, you know, a guy like Todd Bowman. Also to kind of help mentor him. That wouldn't be a bad idea either, but, you know, Todd Bowman's not coming back for free. You know, so, but, I mean, I just wanted to give Luke credit for the way he handled himself in the situation.
Which is right, because we'll be quick to rip a guy if he doesn't do it right.
Right.
And Luke did handle it right. He handled the tough situation the right way.
And you know what? Blaine, I would expect, is going to be the starter to go the rest of the way. At some point, Jaguar fans – you may be counting on Luke McCown to come back in and take it for a little while, you know, if something were to happen to Blaine. So, you know, be happy that, you know, you got a guy like Luke who's a stand-up guy as your backup.
I think that comes across. Most fans who email me in the Ozone plug, you know, they wanted Blaine, but
– we need a camera.
Is that JohnOsher.com?
It may as well be, Jeff.
It's all about you.
Right, exactly. But you know, there was definitely a tone of they want Gabbert, they know he's going to make mistakes. Now, it'll be interesting to see if that same tone holds once they start seeing those mistakes. You know, there will be patience needed with this. But for the most part, fans get that Luke's a stand-up guy, and they admire it. They just, you know, as most of us did, you know, just didn't feel like he was getting the job done for the first two games. And, you know, no question he worked hard at it, but, you know, the consensus was it was time to go with Blaine.
Well, let's talk about the moving on and how Blaine handles the situation and the pressure because he's going up this week not only against the Carolina Panthers and how patient fans are going mm-hmm. to be, because he's going to go against the rookie quarterback that has set in the first 2 weeks all kinds of records, and he's the talk of the NFL, and he's the what is being – I mean, Blaine is going to be compared to sure. Cam Newton, and the comparison's already started on the networks, and that is what the story is. And how patient are fans going to be
– Not.
If Cam Newton outperforms Blaine Gabbert or whatever. I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road, and you find out not only what kind of player Blaine Gabbert's going to be during the 60 minutes of a football game mm-hmm. between the white lines, you figure out how is he going to handle the microscope, the fishbowl of being a quarterback where you are unjustly compared
right.
to everything, and no matter what happens, that back and forth is going to occur.
Let's put it in perspective now. Ron Rivera has an offensive backfield with two first-round draft pick, Pro Bowl, 1,100-yard running backs, and they haven't gone to them at all. They have been content to throw the ball down the field every stinking
Brian,
play.
You're so talking about common sense, looking at football, and making a judgment of a sound
that's
mind.
That's what I'm
that's
saying.
That's not what fans do.
I understand.
Fans
but what
look
I'm...
at what Cam Newton's done. They don't even care that he's thrown picks or whatever. They see 400 yards.
But if Dirk Cutter won't throw the ball, if Jack won't let Dirk throw the ball,
you're missing
much,
my point.
No
I'm
way.
Not saying
no, I got your point.
I'm not saying that we are going to sit here and pick apart Blaine Gabbert compared to Cam Newton. What is going to happen when the fans or the media after the game and Blaine plays fine, throws for 200 right. yards and a touchdown, maybe a pick, and even if we win and Cam Newton goes off for 400, whatever. Right. I mean, what is that? I mean,
well, here's
how is
your
he going to handle that?
Here's your platform. I mean, you're speaking to the largest audience of Jaguars fans on radio in Jacksonville right now, and you're telling them you're going to have to be able to see the forest through the trees.
Absolutely.
You're going to have to understand that it's not going to be the exact same. The Cam Newton show. I mean, Ron Rivera's comments, Loggy, blew me away earlier this week when he talked about the fact that he wasn't worried about the run. This is a defensive coach.
Yeah.
He's not worried about the running game. Look at all the yards they're getting in the passing game.
And they're 0-2, by the way. Let's not right. forget that.
Exactly.
And so I just want to make sure, as we look at this, two things I'm going to be looking for this week. Number one, how Blaine plays. But how does he handle the situation leading up to that game, and how does he handle the situation after the game? That is a big part of being a quarterback in the NFL, and it's not always going to be good. It's the tough questions are going to come. People are going to be – you're going to be unfairly criticized for something sometimes you have no control over.
At this stage, how he responds
is critical.
On and off the field – I would say is probably more important than how he plays, because he's probably going to – I mean
– he's going to mess up, but who cares?
He's going to make mistakes, and there's every chance that it won't look all that pretty. But how he responds in the game
– absolutely.
And how he responds afterward is, to me, infinitely more important for the long-term future.
Absolutely. And so I'll be watching that, and it'll be very interesting to see. And how are they going to – how is Dirk Cutter going to call this game? Is he going to put the handcuffs on him?
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, to me, that may be the most interesting – the interesting thing about this ball game is how will Dirk Cutter handle Blaine Gabbert?
Well, let me throw this out there. Our buddy Pete Prisco tweeted that Mike Thomas told him the playbook was expanded Wednesday at practice. It was confirmed by the coaches. Gabbert will throw deep more. That's Mike Thomas.
Well, I want to see that, because that old screen stuff to the side where, you know, I mean, Mike Thomas has got like a 7 yards – per catch average?
Like 1.7 yards.
No, it's not that bad.
It's pretty close.
Hold on, I'm going to give it to you.
He's on my fantasy team.
7.6 yards a catch, you know. And,
oh, it just feels like 1.7.
Did you ever think you would say those words?
No, never. But, I got two boys and they sure. play. I mean, it's what you do.
Here are just some numbers to chew on here. Mike Thomas, 7.6 average per catch. Jason Hill, 13.3. Last year he was 20. Right. A little over 20. Deji Karim, 12. Zach Miller, 9. Mercedes Lewis, 14. Okay, look, compare that to the Carolina Panthers and what Cam Newton's doing throwing the football. Steve Smith, 23.9 yards per catch. Jeremy Shockey, 17.8. Olsen, the tight end, 22.4. I mean, you know.
But yeah, but you have two different things going on. I mean, you have Ron Rivera, who said we're going to throw it all over the yard. I mean, they have more passing yards in a quarter than we do.
My point is that I want to see the ball, because I think Blaine throws the ball extremely well down the middle.
I say you let it fly.
Let him go.
Go play football.
I'm not saying he needs to throw 50 times.
Right. No, but 35 would be nice.
Let him throw.
Cam Newton threw 40 two times in his debut.
Let it go. It's football. That's what the NFL is now. I mean, listen. I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew, we are very fortunate to have him. But
it's going to make him better, too.
Prolong his career for success.
But here, just look at the top teams. They're not led by a rushing attack right now. Just right now. Even last year, you look at the teams in the Super Bowl. Two quarterback-heavy, throw-heavy teams. Yes, they could run the ball, play good defense, and that's how they won. You look at our own division. What has won the division year in and year out? A quarterback-centric, heavy pass, run when you need to type of style. New England Patriots, same thing. San Diego Chargers. I mean, you look at football today. I'm glad we have Maurice Jones-Drew. We need him to perform because he is the most dynamic player we have on this team. One of the most dynamic players in the entire NFL. I could not believe how impressed I was watching him play against the Jets and how hard and physical he runs the ball. It is fun to watch for me. But you're talking about winning in long-term building. You have to have the guy who can pull the trigger, and you have to be able to throw the ball to move it, and it'll actually make you better in every aspect of the game.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. At Tony Boselli, at John Osher, at Jags Voice. We'll check in with some tweets and grab a caller in Tallahassee when we return to Jaguars This Week on News Talk WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back, Jaguars This Week. Plenty of time to talk to you, ladies and gentlemen. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's grab Nick in Tallahassee up first here in the final segment of hour number one. Hello, Nick. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, I want to talk about Mike Thomas. I have a lot of high hopes for him. And, you know, one of the catch, he made a catch against the Jets where he, like, kind of broke a tackle and then kind of gained a little extra yardage. And I really think he got a lot of potential. I think he can be as good as number 89 in Carolina. I just wanted to get y'all opinion on that. I'll take it up there.
Thanks, Nick.
You know what? If he could be as good as that guy in Carolina, boy, wouldn't that all be wonderful. But I don't see it, and I'm not saying that it's not possible, but the guy in Carolina is special. I mean, really special. And Mike hasn't shown those type of flashes yet. He's shown flashes that he's good. Steve Smith is in a different stratosphere when it comes to talking playmaking ability. I remember watching Steve Smith when he was a rookie, primarily return guy under George Seifert.
Yeah, back in 01.
Holy cow. And he, you know, started taking him back to the house. And I actually was, you know, working games for Fox at the time. And I'd asked George Seifert, at what point are we going to see Steve Smith, that wide receiver? I mean, he's just so electric and explosive as a special teams return. And he said, no, not this week. He's not ready for it. Well, second quarter, Steve Smith was playing wide receiver.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, George. Appreciate the info for the television guys.
That's why George got fired.
Yeah, he was a number one A.
And we'll just move along, unless you have something else
Hole.
To say.
Had to have a little pause there so we could put the two together. But no, he was a jerk. But Steve is – he's amazing. He, you know, Cam Newton is a phenomenal talent. You know, I actually watched both games that Cam Newton played in this year, and the poise, the calm that he has in the pocket.
That's what I noticed too.
Wow.
More than anything else.
I mean, just that actually, alone is.
And it's actually the one thing I'll be looking for in Blaine this week, because if there's any critique you'd give of Blaine that he's played so far, he's a little bit jittery, quick to leave the pocket. I'm hoping the reps he gets, the more reps he gets. You got to remember, Cam Newton pretty much got all the reps in the preseason. So hopefully the more reps Blaine gets, he gets that steadiness in the pocket. Because you watch Blaine, you watch Cam, he stands tall, and it's like nothing is happening around him, and he just kind of feels and moves around. So
that's the rarest thing, obviously, to see in a rookie, and it's obviously what Blaine – you know, needs to get quickly.
Yeah, you got to develop. It's something that has to develop, and some guys do it quicker than others, and some guys never get it.
Right.
And so, talking to the head coach a little bit today, he drew the comparison of Roethlisberger. You know, because Cam Newton has that ability to extend a play, and he's so big and he's so powerful and so athletic to really buy time by escaping the rush and the pressure. You know, and that really what makes Ben Roethlisberger special. I mean, Ben's not special in the pocket. It's when Ben gets out of the pocket that makes him one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, in my mind. And Cam, you know, I don't want to say he's not in the elite category yet. And his third down completion percentage is not real high, and he hasn't won yet. But just some of the traits that he's got are very similar to Roethlisberger.
Grab another one. Let's start with Lee in San Marco. Hello, Lee.
Hey, good evening, guys. Just a good point, and I'm kind of in agreement with you, and a lot of people don't realize it takes real courage to play quarterback. And you know, you've got to have the guts to stay in the pocket and to slide up in the pocket, know where and when to go. And you know, but my main question is this. Does the quarterback make the receivers, or do the receivers make the quarterback? And I'll take that off the air.
I mean, this is like the argument, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? But I will tell you this.
I think that's an easy
answer.
There's
been a lot of great quarterbacks that have made a lot of average receivers look really good.
Yeah, it's the quarterback.
But there's also been some phenomenal Hall of Fame-type wide receivers that have made some average quarterbacks look good, but never great. So, obviously, the quarterback is more important.
It's the quarterback.
355 NFL1. That was an easy question. Let's grab Tony downtown. Hello, Tony. Welcome.
Hey, you guys. I'm just calling the setting on Gabbert and his receivers. I like the receiving core we had. There's nothing wrong with it. But me as a fan, I still feel that we need a big-time Jerry Rice playmaker. And I feel that we had the quarterback to succeed with and win. And I'm wondering what you guys think about that.
Jerry Rice?
They do need Jerry Rice.
Yeah,
right.
I think Jerry Rice would be. If we can find a Jerry Rice type receiver, we are moving in the right direction.
You know, the thing is that everybody wanted the Jaguars to go grab one in free agency. But what did we see? What did you say that in the top 50 receivers, there is not one free agent?
Yeah, that was after the first week. And the one guy in the top 50 in terms of yards was Plexico. And, you know, really not the same player he obviously was 5 years ago, I don't think. So, I mean, fans really wanted him to make a move on one this year.
There wasn't any.
And then during the draft, they spent their equity getting the guy they needed to get, the quarterback. And then they went back and, you know, tried to address receiver. I mean, you know, they got Cecil Shorts, who, you know, can be a good complement at some point. But they don't have that number one guy yet.
But you can't get the guy at every position
every year.
Go look. Andre Johnson.
Right.
Steve Smith.
You got to draft him.
Kenny Britt. Reggie Wayne. Hakeem Nicks. All of those guys.
Teams don't let that guy go.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351.
And if they do, he's not that guy anymore.
Right. I mean,
ask New England how Ocho's.
Yeah, I mean, the only guy that stands out is Randy Moss, the 1 year in New England, but that was because he was playing with Tom Brady.
And he had quit on the Raiders and decided not to quit on the Patriots. I mean,
right.
He had forced his way out of Oakland. Most people thought he was done.
But he was playing with Tom Brady.
He got a rebirth. But he had a good great year the next year with Castle, too. He had a rebirth because of the atmosphere, because he still had a lot of football left him in New England. John said it perfectly. He quit in Oakland, so everyone thought he was done. Everyone thought he had a hamstring, he couldn't play anymore.
Right. That's the exception, not the rule, and it's awfully hard to build a franchise going after all exceptions.
How about Brandon Marshall? I mean, no one can cover him one-on-one in Denver. He goes to Miami. Has anyone seen him?
Yeah, I actually did the game this year.
And?
They still can't cover him.
No,
but
he's still really good.
Yeah, he's
another guy. But again, he got traded because of issues off the field. He forced it. Remember, he refused to go to practice for weeks. I mean, so he forced his way out. What we're talking about, those teams, those guys aren't in free agency. You might find a head case or a guy who is a malcontent that makes him undesirable in a certain place and try to take advantage of that. Because Brandon Marshall still,
by the way,
if he's man to man. Throw the ball to him.
Since you were down there in Miami and you watched him, you studied him and stuff, do you guys remember when Brandon Marshall, got stabbed in the offseason
yes.
and all this issues, and he's had many issues through his career. He was diagnosed with a borderline personality
disorder.
Can somebody tell me what that is?
I guess
does that mean like, you know, he's borderline a nut job?
I think he has real
bipolar,
mental issues.
What is that?
That he's been diagnosed by a doctor that he's unstable.
Joe, did you stay?
Maybe
at,
hits him many times in the head.
Did you stay at one of those fancy hotels to make you a doctor for a day?
Can you
tell me what a borderline personality is?
But I'll say this: borderline personality or not,
he can play.
He can still play.
All right, we need a break. Time for news here at the top of the hour. You're listening to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk WOKV. Depend on it. All right, rolling right along into hour number two of Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, John Osher, Joe Fortunato. You've got the number, 355-NFL-1. If you are listening on WOKV.com or are outside of our calling area, you can always dial us toll-free at 800-355-6351. Buscelli's got his iPhone in his hand, at Tony Buscelli. Osher's is not far away, at John Osher. We'll get to some of those tweets here shortly. For now, though, let's go back to the phone lines where John from Green Cove Springs was kind enough to hold through the break. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
My comment is I remember at one point that the reason why we picked Gabbert was because we thought he was the best in the draft. That's why we went up and got him. And I heard a comment from the GM from Carolina, and it was a toss-up just right before they ended up picking Cam Newton instead of Gabbert. So we've got a guy, I think, that maybe there's a lot of people think that is maybe as good and maybe even better than what we're seeing out of the, you know, because we also have a guy, and I'm blanked on words, but the guy that's starting for Cincinnati, too.
Andy Dalton,
yep.
Dalton, yeah, that's right, Dalton.
But here's the difference. At draft, you evaluate and you're basing it on what they have done in college and combine and pro days. And at that point, there's Blaine Gabbert was the number one quarterback on a lot of people's boards. But what changes, as soon as the games are played, you are no longer judged based on what you did in college or your pro day or combine. Now you are judged on the body of work that you put on the tape. Cam Newton's put on two, you know, good performances for a rookie quarterback. Blaine has not had the opportunity to do anything.
I would a better way to put it, instead of good. I mean, you say I know why you're saying good because he didn't win,
right?
But record breaking is is what they are.
Yeah, the only reason I'm saying not great is because they didn't get to win.
63% completion, which is outstanding. 854
yards. The only
yards
negative
in two games.
Would be the picks.
Plus, he's also run for two touchdowns as well.
And how many picks does he have?
Four.
He has four.
So that's the only negative thing.
Three in the last game.
But as a young player, you're going to do that.
And the other negative thing to add, he's only like 50% on third down, which is, to me, that's where quarterback gets paid.
That's your winning down. In fairness to Blaine, to answer our last caller, he hasn't had the opportunity to do that. And so it's a wait and see with Blaine right now. We are in the hopeful, the potential talk and what we think he can do. Now he'll start laying his body of work out on the tape, and we'll be able to make judgments of how does he compare to Cam Newton. And that's what we talked about earlier in the show. I hope he's ready for that because players don't like it. None of us like when we're compared to other players.
No.
But that's part of life, and especially when you're the quarterback and you're a first-round quarterback, you're in the fishbowl. People are going to ask you tough questions. They're going to ask you questions you don't like. They're going to compare you to other rookie quarterbacks. I hope, and John said it very well, that is almost as important as how he performs on the field.
355-NFL-1. Appreciate the phone call, John. Ed is in Ponte Vedra to continue the quarterback conversation. Hello, Ed. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I want to compliment John on the wonderful job he's doing in the Ozone. I don't miss it a day that goes by.
Thanks,
my
Dad.
Question is...
I try never to read it.
My question
room.
Is, how much of a, in your guys' opinion, was this Gabbert decision a marketing decision versus a really comparing skills? And
if
I'll take your
if
answer.
If it would have been
here.
A marketing decision, it would have been opening weekend.
Yeah.
So I think it was a purely football decision.
Yeah, because Tony was pushing for that for his team till after. So, I mean, we know that.
Yeah. And he's got the marketing angle there.
It was 100% football. I mean, it won't hurt marketing, certainly. But well,
John, you and I were standing on the practice
field. Make
sure
you buy your tickets. Right. Saints, 2 weeks.
We were standing on the practice field night two, right? And he threw a ball, and you said, just without even really saying it to anyone, but I was standing next to you, you said, this won't take long.
Well, and everybody saw it in practice. Everybody sitting here saw it. There are throws the kid makes that not many human beings on the planet can make. I mean, you know, there are certainly better quarterbacks in the NFL right now than Blaine Gabbert, but there are certain throws he makes down the seam, and you know, the football guys here know more than I do about it, but there are just certain throws that he makes that, you know, even the quarterback I covered for 10 years in Indianapolis, there are certain throws down the middle that – you know, Peyton can get that throw made by looking off, looking off defenders, doing things to, maneuver the defense. But he can't make the physical throw that this guy can. I mean, this guy can make, the old cliche, every throw, and he looks the part.
But
the only throw that he doesn't do real well, that I haven't seen, that touch deep ball.
Right. Right. And that's the knock on him, and he knows.
Oh, he can throw it a country mile.
Right.
But, I mean,
it's too far.
For Mark Brunell, threw one of the prettiest deep balls to Jimmy Smith you'll ever see in football. I mean, just touch, distance. I mean,
it just seemed somehow to be in
the
right.
It was effortless.
And it was in the right spot. More times than not, he'd be running, touching his stride.
I mean, and that was the best thing that Mark did, was throwing that go route to Jimmy or any type of deep ball. And that's the only thing that when I watch Blaine, I go, that's the one thing that he needs to work on him,
The only thing I would.
Of course, there's not Jimmy Smith out there on the field, but you get my point.
The only thing I would, because I agree with John, he can make every throw. He can do it all. He looks the part. I watched practice this camp too and said similar thing to what John said. I mean, this guy is a franchise quarterback. The one thing that I have not seen that I'm looking forward to seeing that he can develop is that presence in the pocket. Because if he gets the presence in the pocket with that arm and that athletic ability, watch out. Because he's obviously, I mean, all the reports are he comes on his days off. He's a gym rat. He works hard. He watches film. He's gonna study. And so if he just gets that presence.
But that thing you're talking about is as or more important than the other stuff.
More important.
Yeah.
It's more important than any arm strength or anything else.
Because if you don't have that, you can't do it.
Because I'll tell you, every great quarterback in the league right now, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, just go down the list of the truly great ones. Watch what they do in the pocket. Everything can be breaking down, and people all around them, and they just find a way to maneuver and stay in there and hang in there and just throw that ball when mere mortals are running for their lives.
355 NFL1, move along. Robert is on the south side, staying with the quarterback. Hello, Robert.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I want to put a little bit different spin on this for a second, going back to Luke McCown. 2 weeks ago, Coach said that, he was the man for the time, and then comes out and plays a decent first week game. Second week game, absolutely horrible. No, nobody's going to disagree there. But if you go back a couple of years to 2008, Garrard did the same thing. Went up against, I believe it was San Diego, and threw four interceptions. We lost, I think it was 38-13.
That was last year.
Week we played I can't think of who it was.
Philadelphia
lost 28-3 to another interception. He threw one third of his interceptions in 2 weeks, but we kept on going. The next week he played Indianapolis, we won the game, and we moved forward, and over the next 9-10 weeks we went, I think, 7-2 over the next group of period.
Here's the difference.
Are we staying to McCown by yanking him after one game when he was just named the starter?
What you're saying
is that's the future. I agree there.
What you're saying there and what we're saying there, the difference was there wasn't a top 10 draft pick sitting on the sidelines
changed
when David Garrard was there. David Garrard was the franchise quarterback in every sense of the imagination, including being paid. And
hey, Tony, it's as simple as this. You're the starting quarterback as long as you're the starting quarterback.
Well, wait, don't also forget, Loggy.
Yeah.
That's
what it is.
Don't forget that, and Robert.
He's the franchise. I mean, this guy was brought in to be this franchise quarterback.
After David's fourth interception, they pulled him in San Diego,
and they were going to put Luke in last year. And if Luke had played well,
he would have been there the next week as well.
Yes,
So even last year, David was on a short leash at that point. And remember, that wasn't his only poor game. He had a couple of others, but then he went and played well. And then he played poorly against Washington, if you recall, in overtime, throwing that ball that was picked. And so he was up and down all year last year. He just had a nice string in the middle of it all.
And you didn't have a top 10 draft pick on the sideline.
Exactly. 355 NFL1. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More Jaguars this week. After this on News Talk WOKV. Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna. News Talk WOKV. Tony Buscelli, John Osher, Jeff Lagerman, Brian Sexton with you. 355-NFL1, at Tony Buscelli, at John Osher. You guys got any tweets?
I do. I got some. Do you have any tweets?
I got a bunch of them, but I'm trying to include you guys here.
I got one tweet saying, what about getting T.O. as a main receiver?
Absolutely.
Did they know he's in Korea?
Isn't he in Korea getting stem cell treatment?
He's trying.
He's back.
Yeah,
he's back.
Here's one.
He tweeted he's back, I guess.
Here's one. It says, I just sent Logaman a smoke signal from the Nocatee Preserve. Why
hasn't
he answered my question?
I got it.
Yeah.
and your question was, is what impact will, you know, the Carolina Panthers linebackers not playing in this game have as far as the Jaguars' approach offensively?
Exactly.
How do you do that in a smoke signal? How many puffs of smoke is
it? You got to be an outdoorsman to understand.
Spent a lot of time on the Navajo Indian Reservation.
One I got was, will the Jaguars alter their expectations for the playoffs, you know, based on having a rookie QB?
And a bunch of them about the coach.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, the owner put the coach in the hot seat at the end of last season, and they're wondering how the rookie impacts the owner's belief in the coach.
I don't think it affects it one bit.
No. Nah.
The day that Jack Del Rio made the decision to cut David Garrard, and he was a part of that decision. He had everything I've ever heard, and I know Gene came out and said that it was his call at the end of the day, and I respect Gene, and I believe Gene, but everything I've heard is that Jack initiated that or was part of the initiation of making that decision. And when he and Gene Smith went into the owner's office and said, we're cutting David Garrard and we're going with Luke and Blaine, that moment, the same standard was set because it was Jack making the decision. It'd been one thing if the owner came in and said, we're getting rid of David, I want to go with the rookie quarterback. Then maybe as a coach you can say, well, listen, I didn't even get a chance to go with my guy.
Right.
But this is Jack's decision. He's been part of this process. So I think the same standard is set.
All right. We've got callers on the line, 355-NFL1, and we'll grab Bob on the west side up next on Jaguars This Week. Hello, Bob.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Guys, listen, the JDR scheme of things, 4 yards in a cloud of dust, is wonderful, and really all Blaine Gabbert's got to do is be able to spread the ball around enough to get 25 people out of the box every play. That's really all he has to do. The thing is Connor's got to open up the offense to do that. You throw him the same four patterns. It's killing us. The same four patterns, and you know Rex Ryan saw that last week.
I think Bob's pretty good.
I was waiting for somebody to take that one.
I didn't
go ahead,
see the tape, so I didn't know.
No, I mean,
good point.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that. Bob was, I mean, you
Bob,
know,
were
spot
you,
on, Bob.
Bob, were you watching the coach's tape?
Well, no, guys. I mean, I'm smart enough. I'm an up north guy. I'm a Patriots fan. And I know if I was a defensive coordinator and had to plan against Bill Belichick's offense every week, even the opening game of the season, I'd have a coronary.
Yeah.
And if I have to play against JDR's offense, really? I mean, this isn't hard.
Well,
I mean, I'm going to see MJD all day. Hopefully, I can kill him before halftime so I can get a third string running back in there.
Hopefully, having Blaine will open things up, and it will help not only Blaine by having Maurice, but it will help Maurice by having Blaine. But Blaine's going to have to prove that. He's got to prove that he is a threat and he is a danger for defenses to change the way they approach. The way opponents are going to face Maurice in the running game.
Before we go to the next call, I just want to say one thing about Maurice. I was so impressed watching that game, how he ran the ball, even when we were down. I don't know if you guys noticed.
Did you see him run over the nose tackle?
How physical.
Boua.
How physical he was when the game was out of reach. And here's a guy who's a Pro Bowl franchise running back, very easily could have taken himself out. You know, ran from hits, you know,
yep,
dodged stuff. And if you watch him play, whether it was the first snap or the last snap he was in there,
impressive.
He was physically abusing tacklers. And as a Jaguar fan and as someone who's been a part of this organization, that's what makes you proud to have that guy on your team. And I hope as the tape is watched, I hope more guys on this team watch that and say, you know, because if we can get – listen, there's enough talent on this team – you get a bunch of guys playing like that and get some production out of the quarterback, you can contend for the AFC South. This division is wide open. I know everyone's anointing Houston, but I saw Houston. I watched them last week.
And?
They're good, but they're not great. You can run on that team. The Colts ran on them early. The Dolphins ran right down. Daniel Thomas looked like he was Ricky Williams as a young man, was dominating. You can run on that team. And so if we get that kind of effort out of more guys, and I'm not questioning anyone's effort, I'm just saying that stood out to me. I mean, I literally watched that and said, boy, I would have liked to play with him. And I played with a great player. I mean, I played with Fred Taylor. I would have liked to play with Maurice Jones-Drew. He played the game the right way.
And talking about Maurice Jones-Drew, the better, the faster that Blaine Gabbert can get better, the better for Maurice Jones-Drew. It will open up so much stuff for him. The better Blaine gets, the better it is for Maurice.
Jeff, who does he remind you? I'm trying to think. He plays angry. He runs the ball angry. Like
he reminds the only one he reminds me of.
He wants to hurt somebody. He's searching out.
Earl Campbell.
Yeah, I was just.
Only one that you can draw the comparison to. Maurice runs like Earl Campbell.
Now, is that a worry for you? Because Earl Campbell's career is really short.
Sure, it's a worry.
But, that he can run himself out before the quarterback is ready to go.
Well, it worries me,
too.
But he's
got to play the way he plays.
I don't think you can change that. No. The only thing you do is,
yeah, you're not going to change that.
If you get, you almost have to.
It makes him great.
It makes him great. If I was a coach, if the game's out of I take his pads, I hide his helmet.
Well, that's what they did. Well,
they did that against the Jets, but it had to take, 32 points for the Jets for them to take him out.
I mean, I would hide him. He is that valuable to this team.
Another example of the better Blaine gets and the better things could spread out a little bit where he wouldn't have to take, three hits rather than two hits. Or
I don't know, but that guy.
He's one of the greatest competitors in professional football that I've ever watched.
And
I'm talking going all the way back to, when I was a kid watching the NFL growing up.
I'm telling you, I watched that game. I was in Miami Stadium watching it on TV as we were getting ready for the Texans game. And I'm like, I want to go. Let's go play. Get this guy on the team. This guy, there's not many guys. You watch the NFL today, and you watch it when Jeff and I played, and you watch it before that. This is a profession. There's very few guys, especially at that position when the game's out of hand, and it'd be very easy not to lay down but to dodge a hit.
Franco Harris ran out of bounds.
Put the old finger up in there. Need a blow.
And he does not do that. I was blown away. It stood out to me watching the game, and it was actually I left there with some hope because I said, okay, we got one guy. And I know we have more than that, but he stood out that we got a guy who can –
Have you seen the hit on the nose tackle?
Yeah, I watch him. He just runs over people. It's unbelievable.
Boa weighs, 315?
Yeah.
How about what he did to...
And Boa, this was not a runover job in which the nose tackle was coming off of a block and a little off balance. He was in the hole, squared up, dropping his pads to blow Maurice up, and Maurice ran him over.
After the play, Boa came over to him and slapped him on the
did. Yeah, he knew. What about what he did to Eric
you
Smith?
You know what I'm going to do is next Monday.
Show that play.
Because I didn't show it on All Access Monday night.
You had a lot of
CBS 47. I will show it next week because it's worth going back and showing it. I thought we would have a really good TV shot, and we didn't have it.
It wins the Jackhammer Award this week from Jack.
Oh, there's no doubt.
It should win the Jackhammer Award for the last 8 years.
He has won both games this year. He's won it. That's just the way he plays.
I hope we get it figured out at the rest of – because I don't think we're that far off. I hope we get over the hump because the way he plays, he is the type of guy you want in your locker room, on the field. He plays the game the right way. So I just wanted – we're talking about the quarterback and all that, and I know we can get back to that. But that's – when you mentioned Maurice, Jeff, that clicked in my head, and I will not forget – watching him in the fourth quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, when the game was over, how he played. I will not forget that ever.
He's off to a great start. 185 rushing yards is the most he's ever had through the first two games. So, and he easily could have been 100-yard back in each of the first two games.
Oh, yeah.
He could be the pace setter in the NFL now.
They took him out for the whole third quarter against the Titans. And
what is he doing on a team that is opening it up and throwing the ball?
Telling.
If you had to only play seven in the box and you got him coming downhill at you.
Yeah.
If he could get to the safety level more often.
Oh, it'd get ugly.
Because I watched what he did to Eric Smith. Those guys would run. They will get out of the way if he got there enough times.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351, at Tony Boselli, at John Osher, at Jags Voice for the tweets. We've come to the bottom of the hour. We have 30 more minutes of this show. The last segment, we'll look around the NFL and get Tony and John and Jeff's thoughts on the games in Week 3. Come back with you. We've got three callers on the line. We've got two available. All right, welcome back. 25 more minutes in our program this evening. 355-NFL-1. Phone lines have been stacked all night. Well, not all night. Not the first half hour. After that, we've been going. So let's grab some of these phone calls. Karen is up next. She's in Arlington. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening. I just had a quick comment, and it actually was more towards the fans, which is I just wanted to remind everybody, you know, if you're going to be a Jags fan, then we need to get behind the decisions that, you know, the coaches and everybody makes. We're not them, and they did what they did, and up until 2 hours before they did it, you know, somebody else was the starting quarterback in that. So this poor guy, I'm thinking everybody went, huh? What? And less than 2 weeks later, all eyes are on him going, okay, come on, you're going to do it for us. And here's, you know, there's no I in team. And you know, I think everybody, you know, nerves play a big part in all of this first time out. And sure, I'm sure they all practiced together, but how many times did they practice together knowing that this gentleman, you know, this is going to be our starting quarterback? You know, all along it was practicing thinking that, you know, our former quarterback, Mr. Gerard, was the starter. So, you know, yeah, we're just dorking around. But I just want to remind the fans, you know, and some of the press, too, was not very kind. And
can you remind the fans to buy tickets, too, please?
Yeah, while you're at it.
And yeah, you know, I mean, buy tickets if you know, the tickets you can afford, buy them. If you can even just get to, you know, a game, but no matter what, you know, just remember that if you're going to be a fan, then let's be a fan and let's give our guys a chance to gel together. You know, this man has had 1 week of being a starter, and all of a sudden he's thrust in front of everybody. Everybody's looking at him to be the savior, and they all need to learn to work together, and it's going to take a little time. So
hey, Tony,
let everybody take a little of the pressure off and relax. You know, there's always going to be a victor, and then somebody's not going to win.
Karen, thanks for the call. Tony, Blaine was asked a question today by one of the reporters, a little over the top.
Oh, yeah.
Share
yeah,
that
yeah,
question, because
no,
I mean
it. Ask me, you give the question. You want me to give?
Blaine,
I want to make sure I got it right.
Okay.
Were you there? Were you,
no,
did
I,
you
I
hear
wasn't
the question that Vito asked?
Oh, about saving the franchise?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a little.
Say the question, because I'm going to give you, I want to give my strong opinion.
It was something along the lines of, you know, are you aware that
this is a question for Blaine
well?
Gabbert. He's been named the starter.
It was
his first
of,
day with the media right. since being named the starter.
And it was a follow-up to somebody asked about, do you feel like, you know, do you understand that, you know, your performance will have a lot to do with.
No, not a lot.
Know, Jack and Gene, you know, keeping their jobs. And then the follow-up to that was Vito asking about, you know, basically.
Your performance
if you play
will determine
well,
the future of this franchise.
It'll determine the future of the franchise. It was a little
over the top, it was, ridiculous,
it
dumb
was a tad
question.
Extreme.
Tad. I mean, my goodness. I mean, this. I mean, the franchise has been here 16 years.
But for my boy Vito, it was right up. You know.
Yeah, but Vito
was
is
kind of par for the course.
Glum.
God,
I mean, Mister,
him.
You know, negative when it comes to a lot of this stuff. A lot of time. And listen, I respect Vito, and I like reading a lot of the stuff he writes. But that question was ridiculous to ask a 21-year-old quarterback who happened to be the first rounder, basically saying, if you don't play well, the franchise folds its tent and leaves. I mean, that is the dumbest, idiotic thing I have heard. I mean, my goodness.
Now,
I mean,
now really? Karen was just saying that the media wasn't being nice. Couldn't you be a little nicer?
Me?
To Vito.
I love Vito, but Vito will tell me when I say something dumb, so I'm going to tell him when he says something yeah, dumb.
I'm sure it's not hurting his feelings.
No, all. Vito, listen, he's probably right, tweeting something right now, Boselli's an idiot.
355-NFL-1. Karen, thank you very much. Let's grab Gordon in Ponte Vedra up next on Jaguars This Week. Gordon, good evening.
Good evening. How y'all doing?
What's happening, Gordon?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, I got a question. I want to kind of direct it towards Tony more than anybody else. And the having been a season ticket holder of, 12 tickets from day one, then to New York, then to Denver,
I love you.
What I consider the game of the century and all that, the thing that just rips my heart out is for the last 5 or 6 years, we have been watching a team that has no pass rush, can't cover somebody in the secondary, can't cover a back out of the backfield, and offensively just continues to try to run the ball against 7 and 8 man fronts. Where is the problem? Is the problem with the and I love Dean Smith, is the problem with who the player we have on the field, is the problem with the scheme that we are trying to play?
It's a great question. Number one, the last several years, you have to understand, you have to break that up into kind of two different stages. One, when Shaq Harris was leading this franchise, we had a number of misses in both free agency and the draft class. And so you weaken the roster and you weaken the team. Gene Smith comes in. He is now, this is year three of what everyone has basically said, rebuilding this franchise, rebuilding the foundation and the depth of the roster. And so by this year and going into the next year, you should start seeing the changes if what they've done is the right or the right choices. And so you got to give it some time, and I know people are tired of hearing give it time, but the reality is right now the way this team's built, it's a running football team, and they're actually this year playing much better defense at least through 2 weeks. And then you wrap all that around in a quarterback-centric league today, you have to have that guy who can lead you. You have to have the guy, if you want to be a team that year in and year out competes for the playoffs, competes to go to the Super Bowl, you have to have a franchise quarterback. I don't see one team in the NFL today that consistently is winning and consistently going to the playoffs that does not have that guy. I mean, John, can you think of one?
If you don't have one,
You can win in spurts,
right?
And you can win around a great defense with a running game at times.
But you're not going to be that year in, year out franchise. And not having the quarterback can make a lot of other things
look worse,
not look very good, and vice versa.
See the Colts.
Yeah, well, and even the Patriots. I mean, any team that's got one is built around almost to a fault, and it just makes everything else look better.
See the Colts.
And, Jeff's saying this, I can't tell you the number of times where the Colts were in serious trouble looking at 3rd and 17 with a game-changing play, and all of a sudden there's a 3rd and 18 pass to Reggie Wayne, it's a first down, and you're out of trouble. If you don't have that, everything else sort of, builds on itself and gets worse.
And
if you've got it, it gets you out of all kinds of problems.
And it doesn't even have to be as obvious as the Colts. Look at the AFC teams that have contended for playoff spots. So in the West, you have the San Diego Chargers.
Here's the key. Look at the teams that consistently compete at a high level.
Okay, so in the AFC West, you have the San Diego Chargers. They're the consistent benchmark of the team. What do they have? Besides the one blimp last year because early they couldn't cover a kick or block for a punt. Phillip Rivers,
right.
Franchise quarterback. If you look at the AFC South, it's been very easy.
Peyton Manning.
If you look at the AFC North, you have Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco the last number of years. Those two
and
guys.
And when Carson was playing like it, that Carson, was when the Bengals made their start.
Exactly right.
Go down the list.
You go down to the AFC East, you have Tom Brady, who consistently, the 1 year he gets hurt, yes, they go 11-5. They don't make the playoffs. The Jets are the other team the last number of 2 years have been there. The book is still out of Mark Sanchez. They have been doing that, running the ball in great defense. The question is, because they've only done it 2 years, will they do it over the long haul? And if the only chance of them doing it over the long haul is if Mark Sanchez becomes that franchise guy.
It's so much harder to do it.
You'll have other teams that jump up.
Up and down.
Up and down, up and down, up and down. By the way, Gordon, good question. And Gordon, that black and teal bus that you got parked out back, it needs to be fired up again.
Let's go. Come on, Gordon.
355-NFL-1. We break one more segment. Jaguars This Week returns right after this on News Talk WOKV. All right, rolling right along here. We are going to get to the week in the National Football League and get John and Jeff and Tony's perspective on that. First, though, we go back to the South Side. Richie, probably our final caller of the evening. Richie, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well myself.
Good. What's on your mind?
My question for Mr. Cole is, when is it okay to fire the coach? And what I mean is, when callers call in week 1 and 2, you say it's early in the season. When they call in week 8 and 9, you say it's middle of the season. It's more games left. At the end of the season, week, let's say 14, 15, and 16, you say it's a knee-jerk reaction to get rid of the coaches. You drop games. So my question is,
who are you addressing in particular? Because you're saying that someone said something. Cole's not here.
So ask Logman.
Okay, Jeff, I can do that too. That's not a problem. Like I said, if you can't farm in week 1 and 2 because it's too early in the season, if you can't farm in week 8 and 9 because the middle of the season, there's a lot of games left, and you can't farm at the end of the season if you drop 3 or 4 games because that's a knee-jerk reaction, then when can you fire a coach?
I think the only time to make a coaching change is when the season is over.
Yeah, it never dramatically changes anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's never done anything to ever help.
Right.
I mean, to me, if you at the end of the season, you evaluate, you look at where the team is at, and if it's not going in the direction that you believe it should be going, then you make a change.
The only caveat to that, because I agree most of the time, it does not. I mean, what's the point?
It didn't help Denver or Minnesota.
It helped Dallas.
Year.
Yeah, that's the only situation. If Dallas ended up going, a guy you think is your guy.
Dallas ended up going 5-3. And it was basically his job interview for the last 8 games. They were should have gone 6-2 if it wasn't a fluke play against New Orleans on Thanksgiving Day. They were a completely different team. Completely different team the second half of that year under Jason.
Yeah, but isn't that a different situation entirely than a Denver or a Minnesota where they ended up firing the coach and going with an interim coach? And the reason
Leslie Frazier is still the coach in Minnesota.
And they went ahead and they made that decision. But when Jason Garrett was hired by the Cowboys, he was hired with the idea that he was going to be the next head coach.
That is not according to what the story was back then. And then
he was the highest paid coordinator in the game specifically.
Even if you even listen to Troy Aikman this offseason, Troy Aikman actually told him not to take the job as the interim coach because he was in a no-win situation. Because if he did not perform well, then he would not have been the coach the following year.
Well, my understanding is when he came in there, they didn't think he was ready to be the head coach, and they gave Wade Phillips the job almost on an interim basis until Garrett was ready.
No, I agree it's a different situation, but he had to prove during those last 8 games that he could.
Yeah, I'm talking about when he first came in.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yes, when he first came in, but more so when people started asking for him to interview at other places while he was the offensive coordinator of the Cowboys, and that's when Jerry supposedly said, be patient, you're my future.
Right. Well, but there's an exception to every rule, and the Dallas rule is
But I agree. Most of the time, I'm with Jeff. I mean, why?
Doesn't make any difference.
The only thing it might do is appease some fans and get them on board for the last part of the season. But
when you're firing the coach, your season's generally gone.
I know that, but emotionally, But I don't think it does anything.
Right. All right. Appreciate the call, Richie. Let's grab some of these games here, and we will start with Detroit at Minnesota, and all of a sudden Matt Stafford looks phenomenal.
Well, he looked good last year, but he got hurt. And so Matt Stafford has looked good since he got in the NFL. I mean, he's got all the tools. He has the weapons in Calvin Johnson, Javon Best. He has two very good tight ends, an offensive line that's playing well. If he can stay healthy, he's a franchise guy. That Detroit team is for real. They will contend in the North with that defense, and as long as Matthew Stafford's healthy, Dominic Sue,
most dominant defensive player in the league.
My goodness gracious, is a guy that
is
the only person I can compare him to.
Reggie White,
exactly right.
When you have a top 5 pick 15 years in a row,
you finally get it right.
You should be pretty loaded.
For about 10 years, they got it wrong.
Holy cow.
Calvin Johnson's pretty good,
they're
too.
They're very talented because they've had a lot of high picks.
Who's the guy from Auburn that ended up there?
Defensive tackle.
Big defensive.
Nick Fairley. He's not even playing.
Fairley.
The other good guy who's very good, and he's third or fourth year guy, it's their defensive end, and his name's slipping.
Yeah, Cliff Averill. Got a couple sacks.
What?
Cliff Averill.
He's playing
from Clay High.
Yeah, Cliff Averill. He's playing very well.
Let's see. San Francisco at Cincinnati, Miami at Cleveland. How about this one? New England at 2-0, Buffalo.
I think Buffalo comes back to the planet this week.
Buffalo doesn't have the secondary to cover all of Tom Brady's options.
I'll say this about Buffalo. they got a guy who potentially could be a franchise quarterback.
Man,
Ryan Fitzpatrick, I ain't ready to jump on that yet.
Jeff,
I said potentially.
Yeah.
Look what he's done the first 2 weeks, and look how he operates in the pocket, how he operates. He has a big arm. He's more athletic than people think. His biggest knock is that he went to Harvard, so he has that stigma over his head and so the doesn't have the right name. But if you took the name off the back of the jersey and watch how he played the first 2 weeks, I think we'd be saying
it's not Harvard.
Different.
It's Harvard.
Sorry.
All right. The Giants in Philadelphia. Giants.
I'm doing that game this week.
Oh, you are?
Yes, for Westwood One.
How good is Philadelphia?
I think they're very good. I don't think they're the dream team. I think that was way overstated. I think their offensive line is okay. They have an entire new scheme they're running with the offensive line. Howard Mudd took the job, came out of retirement, which I was surprised because I saw Howard Mudd his last year at Indy and he said he was done coaching. But
he was done coaching with that team.
Yeah, so it took him 1 year.
That's what he meant.
Yeah.
It took 1 year for him to come back, so they've changed how they do things. Michael Vick gets hit a lot. And so we saw last week against the Atlanta Falcons, they're very
That off his own offensive lineman hit him.
Yeah, but he got hit a lot before that, and he gets beat up. Defensively, I think they're good. They're not great. I think you can move the ball against them. And so I think they're the best in the NFC East.
The Giants' offensive line is just not what it was.
You know, no, they're
that's why it's going to be
Chris
tough Knee's for the
Giants.
Chris
Knee is the only really stud they have. It's going to be tough, but I think it's –
the Giants of old would handle Philadelphia.
I agree with you, Jeff. But I think more than anything, it's going to be the back half of that defense that's going to give the Giants the most problems.
Perifuel.
I mean, they got
defensive
the front –
coordinator of the Giants.
Yeah, yes. The front four is still very good, but they have so many injuries. I think it's six starters out on defense.
Yeah, you get to meet
up with Tommy this week.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to Tom.
Good.
Are you going to break bread?
I doubt he'll want to do that, but I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him before and after the game.
Denver's at Tennessee. Houston at New Orleans, so you know 2-0 against 1-1, and I think
New Orleans beats them. From what I've seen, I watched the Houston game obviously, and watched the game before they played at Indy, which was like a warm up. Indy gave them that game. They played against an average to below average Miami team, and I think New Orleans is going to be able to move the ball.
They move the ball on almost everybody,
and I'm not totally impressed with that defense. I think you can run the ball against the Texans. And if you can run the ball against a team, you can throw it.
That's one of those games. You remember the old high school scoreboards, you know, where the guy would have to like go out in front and change the numbers on the hanging on the post. It's good that everything is electronic.
Well,
now
we'll see.
Now,
what
the good thing that Houston has is Ben Tate is for real. He can run the rock.
Well, we'll see what the safety
Daniel Manning. Yep.
They spell it funny. Daniel Manning that came from Chicago and John Joseph from Cincinnati, and just how much better their secondary is. The Jets at the Raiders.
Good one. Yeah,
the Raiders are for real.
And they're for real because they play really good defense, and the Jets look like they're going to be without Nick Mangold in the middle, and that's where they're strong.
And Darren McFadden, my goodness. Golly, he can play.
I mean, the Raiders are real strong up the middle with Seymour, Big John Henderson, and who's the other guy that they paid a bunch of money to?
Tommy Kelly,
and he's good.
Well, here's their thing.
Holy overpaid, cow. But
it doesn't matter.
I don't know about that. I don't think he is anymore.
He's not in today's market. The other thing is the Jets have to make that long cross-country trip from New York to Oakland.
Well, and then they got to come back and play Baltimore and New England.
Could be the
Heidi
game.
Weeks.
Yeah.
Let's see. Baltimore's at St. Louis. Kansas City's at San Diego.
Kansas City's done for the year. They might not win a game.
Yeah, they're really
They've
bad.
Lost three core
do they play,
players
do they play
to
the
ACLs
Colts?
In the last three
yes,
weeks.
Yes, they do.
They do play the
that
Colts.
That would be a great game.
Here's one for you. Atlanta's at Tampa Bay.
Good one.
Yeah, a couple of 1-1 teams that have expectations.
I think Atlanta's better than Tampa, but I do like Tampa a lot. I don't think Tampa's very good on defense, or they're just okay. But they got Josh Freeman, LeGarrette Blount is a big time. You watch him go through the hole? Golly.
Yeah. But
would not want to get in front of him.
Hey, the Atlanta Falcons thought they had a franchise quarterback, and right now are they saying, are we sure we have a franchise quarterback?
Did you watch him Monday night?
I watched him Monday night.
Or Sunday night, excuse
Sunday
me.
Sunday. I watched him Sunday night.
At times he looks terrific.
He threw four
he
touchdown passes.
I know, but at times he looks
and
phenomenal.
And when they needed it,
and
he
sometimes
performed.
He doesn't look so good.
I think what Matt Ryan, where he sometimes – I don't think he can actually make all the – he doesn't have a very big arm.
Right.
And so I think that's where he gets in trouble. But I think he's a franchise.
He sees it.
He sees
the
ball.
People are a little
too
quick to put him up there as an elite quarterback. I know that.
All right. He has good pocket presence.
Green Bay's at Chicago. We don't have enough time to talk about that one. Pittsburgh's at Indianapolis. And then,
Green Bay, Chicago's a good game.
Yeah, it's a real good game.
Aaron Rodgers, best quarterback in the NFL right now.
And for you guys, Washington.
Yes, he is. Without a doubt, there's not a better quarterback in the NFL than Aaron Rodgers.
Tom Brady.
No.
Washington and Dallas, Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it's an old rivalry to visit.
Love watching that. That reminds you of your youth.
Yes. Yep.
Will Tom Brady play? I mean, will Tony Romo play?
Tom Brady.
I was still on Tom Brady with Pacelli.
He was fitted for a
flapjack. I can't believe you think that
Aaron Rodgers
is
the best quarterback in the NFL. There's no question.
Tom Brady is number one, period, bar none. You can't even argue that.
You don't know offensive football. You're a defensive player.
I'm going to keep talking until we have absolutely zero time.
You got the last word.
Because Tom Brady is the man.
Aaron Rodgers, best quarterback
in the NFL. Tom Brady is the man.